Am I the only one that has trouble communicating with the younger generation? I mean, really, I don't have a clue of really how to communicate effectively and well with young people these days. I mean, even in my own family. So I'm in communication with my two older girls who are back in Iowa on a weekly basis. But it's a rarity that we actually talk to one another. Right, we send texts back and forth, we keep up on Facebook, but rarely do we have a conversation. And as far as the younger two that are still living at home, I can tell you in detail what the tops of their heads look like. Right? It's just a whole new ball game today. You just can't have a conversation. And so thus, my challenge today is to have these 12 smiling, kind of smiling faces looking back at me. And so how do I communicate with them in a way that's effective so that you get it? And I put a lot of thought to that this week, and I rejected a couple ideas. Like, for instance, there's this priest down in South America. Yeah, he buzzed around on a hoverboard. Yeah, he got suspended for doing that. So I said, no, that's not it. I'm not going to buzz around on a hoverboard. I'd probably kill myself. So I thought, well, maybe since texting is so what, I'd send out a group text to all of you, right, with my main points. But you won't give me your phone number, so that wasn't going to work. So I thought, all right, I'm going to move to Twitter, all right? So maybe I'll speak Twitterese, and that way that you'll get it, right? So if you're not familiar with Twitter, ask them after service. They'll explain it to you. All that is, well, Twitter's big thing is you put a hashtag on things. We used to call it a pound sign. But no. It's hashtag, baby, all right? So some hashtags about the main points for today, but I thought that's still not really enough, right? The newest thing, because Twitter's kind of being old school, and I don't know if this is the newest, but it's new to me, and that's Snapchat. You know, I can tell by the smiles. You know what Snapchat is, right? Snapchat's a new thing. Snapchat is like the selfie morphed into something new. So y'all remember the selfie, right? So the selfie was, for whatever reason, we just would take a picture of ourselves, right? And I've done it many a times and posted it for the world to see. I have no idea why, all right? So we did that. But now Snapchat takes it one step further. So now you have the selfie, but you put filters on it, and then a little bit of a tagline. So here's a Snapchat for you. So you got to bear with me in this service, right? We're going to use all of that to try and get across the point. And the reason is this. I want you guys to have Jesus. More than anything else, I want you to have Jesus. I want all of us to have Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you got that, you don't need anything else. You see, Jesus said that he is the way. And it's awfully good that Jesus said that he is the way, because it's pretty easy to get lost in this world, especially if you're trying to find your way to God and you're trying to discover something about God. In today's world, it's pretty doggone confusing, and it's very easy to get lost. Even though we live in a time when we have more information at our fingertips 24 hours a day. If you've got a smartphone and an internet connection, you have more knowledge than you could ever consume in your entire lifetime. You want to know about God. You want to know about the path to God. There's all kinds of information out there. And most of it's wrong. Because most of the information out there says that all religions basically are the same. Don't worry about it. There are many paths that lead to God. So as long as you're sincere in what you believe, as long as you're intent on it, well, then eventually you're connected with God. Right? There's a Hindu story that's supposed to illustrate this. Hindu story goes this way. A group of blind people were walking through the jungle. They stumble upon an elephant. One of the blind men, he comes up and he hits the tusk. He goes, it's a spear. Another one, he grabs the trunk. He says, it's a snake. Another one, he bumps up against the leg and says, it's a tree. Another one is against the side of the elephant, he says, it's a wall. And finally, there's a guy in the back who grabs the tail and says, no, it's a rope. And so here, the moral of the story is, see, as long as they're touching the elephant, they have found the elephant. They all have a different perspective on it. But as long as they're touching the elephant, they've found it. And so there are many paths that lead to God, as long as you're in that pursuit. Does anyone else see a flaw in this thinking? They're all wrong. It's an elephant. It's not a spear. It's not a tree. It's not a wall. It's not a rope. It's not a snake. It's an elephant. And they all missed it. But that's the culture and the world that we live in today that says, well, you know, just kind of find your way through. And it's easy. It's easy to get lost, especially when you're talking anything spiritual or anything to do with God or religion. Jesus says that he is the way because he is God. This is the difference between Christianity and all other religions. Every other world religion, they have prophets who will tell you how to find God or what you need to do to get in good with God. But in Christianity, God came to us. Jesus said, I am God, and I've come to you, and I am the way to the Father in heaven. We're completely lost on our own. We're no better than blind men going through the jungle, stumbling upon an elephant and not knowing what it is. We cannot find our way to God. So God came to you. He came to you in your baptism, and he claimed you to be his child, and he put his name upon you to prove his love for you, to prove the fact that he is God. He lived, he was put to death, and he came back to life again to show the fact that it was God who came among his people. Sometimes Christianity is being accused of being very, very exclusive, since we say Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. I say we're extremely inclusive because Jesus came for all people for all time, and he expects nothing from them. We can do nothing for him. We are simply on the receiving end of all that he gives to us. That is the most inclusive thing that I can ever think of. He is the way, and he is the truth. We could use truth to find out what's right, find out what's wrong. I mean, because let's face it, you got questions, right? You got questions. No monkey business around here, right? You got questions about life. You got questions about God. You got questions about what's right and what's wrong. Once again, culture falls up short on us here. Because you know what culture says? Culture says truth is relative. What's true for you may not be true for you. What's true for you, probably not true for me. It all depends upon our circumstances. It all depends upon our point of view. So for each one of us, we create our own truth. Where does that leave us? It leaves us lost is where it leaves us. There's no place to go for guidance, no place to go for direction, no place to know what's right and what's wrong, because the mantra today is there are no absolutes. In fact, they're very vehement about it. There are no absolutes. Except, of course, the statement that there are no absolutes. That's an absolute. Right? But in the end, where do you go to make choices? Where do you go to make decisions? Jesus says he is the truth. And the thing about Jesus is he tells it straight. He tells it straight with you. He doesn't mince words. He comes right at you. Even if he knows that it's going to upset you, even if he knows that maybe you're going to get angry about it. So for instance, Jesus isn't afraid to convict us of our own sinfulness. Now, nobody likes that. Nobody wants their sin pointed out, but he does it. He doesn't mince words, right? Jesus is the one that says, I tell you what, if you have looked at another individual lustfully, you've committed adultery with them. I'll tell you what, if you've hated another individual, you've already committed murder in your heart. Boom, we're done. Where do you go from there? We all stand convicted, and that's just two statements of Jesus. He doesn't mince word. He tells it to us straight, but as soon as he convicts, he's quick to come in and offer forgiveness. Quick to point out the whole reason that he came into the world, the whole reason that he lived and he died and he rose, was so that he could take away our sins, so that you don't have to wallow in guilt or regret or remorse, but instead, you stand forgiven so that he can show you the way to the Father. Now, if Jesus deals with you straight on stuff that you don't like, you know that he's going to deal with you straight on everything. If he is the way, if he is God, then he is truth. And everything that he says is true and can be trusted. You do have a source to know what's right and what's wrong. You do have a source for guidance and direction in life, because Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. And when Jesus says that he is the life, he is life itself. And he's not just talking about heavenly life. He's not just talking about eternity, the afterlife. Certainly he's talking about that. That's the greatest gift we spend in eternity with him. But I don't know about you. I'm kind of interested about here and now. And Jesus is too, because Jesus says that he has come to give us life and to give us life to the full, right here, right now in this world. So what does it mean then to enjoy life? What does it mean to have the good life? Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of good examples. If we look at all to the entertainment industry, what's on TV and what's on the screen, whether it's the character they're portraying or the person that they are, it's not a good example of what it means to live the good life. You add to that, I didn't realize that this was still popular, so you guys can help me out, but my kids tell me this, YOLO. Yep, is that still popular? YOLO is you only live once, right? I think it has a corollary. The corollary that I made up myself is LDSS. Let's do something stupid. Because one leads to the other. You only live once. Let's do something stupid, right? Let's drive 200 miles down the road. Let's put Snapchats in our sermon. Yes, let's do something dumb, right? I mean, it leads to all kinds of foolish and risky behavior. People jumping off cliffs, doing things they know they shouldn't do. Now, this one's a new one on me, right? And maybe you guys know this. There is a day in April that's listed as the day you're supposed to go to school high. It was all over Twitter, all over social media. There's a day in the month of April you're supposed to go to school high. Are you kidding me? What? Talk about let's do something stupid? I mean, that one ranks up at the top, right? So what does it mean to enjoy life? Somehow we think to enjoy life that we've got to push the boundaries, that we got to do something dumb or something risque, right? It ends in disaster. Jesus says that he is the life. And if he is the life, he says, let's go back to the original. Let's go back to how God created and designed us to live. So if you really want to enjoy life, go back to the one who created you and designed you and says, this is how I want you to live. And that's how you enjoy life. But when we start monkeying with it, when we start trying to do other things, that's when it ends in disaster. Let me try with this an example. Right, so when I was a kid, all right, highlight of my childhood was my mini bike. Do you all know what a mini bike is? Do you guys know what a mini bike is? No, my kids didn't either. What? They are deprived. They don't know what a mini bike is. So a mini bike is this little thing. So it's got wheels about this big. It's got a seat, got a handlebars, and it has what essentially is a lawnmower engine attached to it under your butt. Okay, and so you grab it and it's the precursor of my motorcycle days. All right, my little mini bike all around the neighborhood, all in the yard, having a great time. But you know what? It didn't go fast enough for me. Of course it didn't go fast enough for me. So I modified it. Of course I modified it. See, the engine had what was called a governor on it, which would only let it go so fast, and then it would start powering down. Well, screwdriver, pair of pliers, we took care of that. That governor was gone. Sure enough, it was fast. And I'm buzzing down the street, going all through the yard, having a great time, going super fast, until it blew up. Because it wasn't designed to go that fast. And so eventually it self-destructed. How many pro athletes, how many entertainers do we have to watch self-destruct? Because they just want to modify life and do something extra. How many of your friends, how many of your neighbors do you want to watch them implode because they want to modify things? Jesus is the life. Let's go back to the original. How is it that Jesus would have us live? He's the creator. So I'm all for YOLO, you bet. You only live once. But let's do something significant. Let's do something significant with our lives. Show compassion to the person next to you. Show kindness to the kid that's being picked on in school. Take a stand for what you believe, even if it's unpopular. Right? Make a difference in someone's life. Impact your community. Right? Make something of significance in your life. You want to enjoy life? Then do something of significance with your life. That's what Jesus did. If you look at Jesus' life, his was a life of significance, and he enjoyed life. Jesus is the life. It comes down to this. What I want for you is I want you to have Jesus. Jesus, no filter, just Jesus. He's all you need. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Would you all stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son into our world. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and living among us and showing us the way to the Father. Thank you for rescuing us from our own life and giving us new life in you. May your Spirit dwell in our hearts. And Jesus, I pray especially for these 12 young people here, that your Holy Spirit would dwell in their hearts and that it would burn brightly, that they would have a strong and vibrant faith for you, that they would stick by one another, and they truly would enjoy life in you. In your name we pray. Amen.